not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. How many of you ever heard we're not supposed to judge? You're not supposed to judge. And you ever realize the person that said that, what did they just do? They just judged, amen? And so I always ask them, well, why are you? Okay, you're judging me. But the Bible tells us to judge, but the Bible tells us to judge righteous judgment. Things are not always as they seem. And oftentimes, you children especially, I wish you would learn this lesson in life, that there are people that love you and they want the best for you. Why do we think that our parents hate us?
Your mom doesn't love me because she doesn't want me to do that and this and the other thing. And
you know, we need to learn to step back and judge righteous judgment. I was talking to, let's see, was it another Zerbe's run at Perkins? I don't remember. I was talking about halva. Was it you guys? All right. Halva is this Russian item that they have there. How many have ever seen the Russian fungus that they grow in these big jars? And it's kind of like the fungus I had at the water glass at Fairhaven last time I was there. They'd forgotten to change it, so it had all this mold growing on top of it. But anyway, I appreciate the fresh water. But they then take and they dip a dipper in through that mold and get the water that's being generated underneath this mold. It's got this fungus on it. And so I went to Russia, and they had one of the items we gave them was halva. And it was put on a plate, and it was this green, fuzzy mass on the plate. And I thought, oh, great. Now they're not only giving us the water from the mold, they're actually giving us the mold itself. That's what I was thinking. What it was is they had taken the black oil sunflower seeds, like you feed. We have them in bird seed a lot. We don't use the black ones to eat. But the Russians eat those things. And they took those seeds, and they would just grind them up completely and add sugar to it. And they would press it down, and it made this block of sugary treat. It was actually very delicious. It got a nice, crunchy texture to it. But to look at it would just turn your stomach. What I thought was fungus, you know. And so we had to learn to not judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. My point is this. As you grow up in life, as you begin to grow in your Christian life, there's often times you're going to be asked, through the Bible reading possibly, God speaking to your heart, to do something that doesn't seem to be on the outside a good thing. I don't mean it's a bad thing. I want to say, tithe? You want me to tithe? Give up some of my money? I'll go broke! Tithe doesn't really make a lot of sense, does it? Does it? Does it make sense to give up my money? Well, it's not yours. Amen? It belongs to God. But giving back to God what belongs to Him, then giving above and beyond that, and you're going to be prosperous? Well, yeah. You know, true. Why? Because God's in the equation. And so, my point is this. I remember going to Bible college, 1990. I'd already been in the Marine Corps. I'd already been in aerospace for years. And I'm totally changing my life. We're going to Bible college. And we're driving across country. And to the man who is now my pastor, he and I were just soul winning partners at this point in life. We were best of friends. We went out soul winning together. We were just friends in the church. And we're driving across country. He says, what do you plan on doing when you graduate? I said, I have no idea. He said, well, sometimes the way to know God's will is to know what you don't want to do. Well, there's a lot of truth in that. You get right with God and do what you want to do. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. If you're right with God, you're going to be doing what you want to do if you're with God. Okay? I wanted to be here today. Okay, I love going to church. Now, there's times I don't feel well, but I get to go to church and not be blessed. And so, when you get right with God, you do what you want to do. It's a blessing. Because you're going to want to do what God wants you to do if you're right with God. And so, we're driving across country. He says, what do you want to do? I said, I have no idea. He said, well, what don't you want to do? And I said, well, I don't want to work in a bus ministry. First thing. Well, that's the first thing I joined when I went to college because of my schedule. I had to. And God blessed and God grew me spiritually to the point where it broke our heart when we had to leave our bus ministry. The second thing I didn't want to do was be a missionary. I mean, those folks are crazy. Well, part of that's true. Amen. and I had a wrong idea of missions. I had no idea that it would be a joy to serve the Lord in missions. And I was with a pastor, I was with Brother Courtney, up in Hyde Park, Chicago, just last Sunday. And I said, man, you'd have to beat me to get me to be a pastor in Chicago. You'd have to beat me. Now, you look at Courtney. Do you guys know Courtney Lewis? Okay. And then you go to F. Curtis Teasdale. You couldn't pick two more opposite people. I mean, they are on both ends of the spectrum, both pastoring in Chicago. You'd have to beat me to have me pastor in Chicago. I couldn't stand it because God hasn't called me to do that. And so my point is this, young, this morning. Find out what God wants for you. Now, I already know that God is speaking to Kay. God wants him to come over to Estonia soon. He don't even have to graduate high school. We'll take care of that for him. Because I could use a worker like that. He worked so well yesterday. I appreciated working with him. And there's a few of you here. I hear God calling you. Come to Estonia. Come to Estonia. Amen? By the way, I will say this as a highlight. Any of you that wish to come to the country and visit us, we will accommodate you. We have places for you to stay. It won't cost you a thing. And we have nice places, and we have a prophet's chamber we built for people to come visit. It doesn't get used much. It's still waiting there for somebody from Broadview Heights, but it's there. We built it just for you. And we also have places in our house. God has blessed us above and beyond what we deserve. And you'll see some pictures on my display. It takes about 40 minutes to go through all of them, but you'll see some neat things there. If you come into summertime, you might get to see real live jousting, real live. This no holds barred. They will break bones. They will hurt themselves. It's fun to watch. You'll see blood flow if you like that kind of stuff. If you come in the wintertime, you can go to the Christmas market. Tallinn Christmas Market, rated one of the top Christmas markets in the world. You'd enjoy that. Any time of the year you want to come, we'll take care of you. So, with that in mind, do I have any questions concerning the field? Or anything that comes to your mind concerning our ministry? Yes, sir. That's a good question. Estonia is a country that's comprised of about 30% Russians, ethnic Russians, or Russian-speaking people. In our church, we have Estonians, Russians, Ukrainians. I don't think we have any Belarusians. Of course, in Americans, that's us. And so the language is an issue. When we pass out tracts in the street, we go down in the streets, we try to hit different groups. We hit a lot of tourists that come through there. We are prepared for whomever we meet. And so we have Russian tracts, Estonian tracts, Chinese tracts, and English tracks, and we try to hit good groups of people that way. We never know who we're going to see down there. Estonian language is totally separate from Russian language, not even in the same family or group. Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In Russian, it's итак, кто во Христе, тот новая тварь. Время прошло, те все новое. In Estonian, Nisi, Skuike, Gion Christus, Si, Saunus Lodu, Van Unmuden, Bata, Us Unteknud. It's a totally different language. And it's difficult. On Sunday, we use all three. And so you sit here sometimes, you know, half of one, half of the other. I used to remember when missionaries come through, and I, bear with me if you thought this ever, and he gets up to preach, you know, this missionary, and he preaches, oh, I forgot the word. Honey, what is this word in English? And you thought, oh, he's trying to show off how good he is in the form. Have you ever thought that? Or is that just me, you know? I always thought that, you know, showing off. No, actually I found out, it's if you know computer technology, it's as our CPUs are a little older, you see, and they don't function as well as they should, and my RAM is very small. And so it only allows a certain amount of information to stay in there. So when one language comes in, the other one leaves. And so as we stay on the field, it's not that we're so immersed in the language. I still do this as badly or poorly in those languages too, but we just don't keep it all in our head. And it's difficult to function in all three of them at the same time. So I have passed the language exam for Estonian. That means I can just about order pizza now. And my wife is still working on that. It's a difficult language. Give you an illustration. I studied Estonian, Russian. I took a 10-week course in the summer to study Russian grammar. And that's all the formal Russian that my entire family has had. Penny's never had a formal language course in Russian at all. Yet we took our Estonian testing and Estonian courses from Russian. Okay, we learned enough Russian being in Russia and studying the Bible. We memorized Bible. We memorized blocks of Bible to be able to, when you couldn't speak correctly, this is a good lesson for you. If you can't speak correctly, memorize the Bible. Now, you all that use the King James might speak a little funny when you talk to people and say, thus saith, you know, but it's great, you know. You know your grammar's right. And if you memorize Bible, you don't have to worry about what you're going to say. All you got to say is, God says, and then quote Bible. The Bible, you got three phrases. Jesus said, Bible says, God said, you know. Hey, they think you got a lot of vocabulary. So, we learn to say that, Бог говорил, or Иисус сказал. Jesus said, God said, Библия говорит, или Библия написана, it's written in the Bible. And we would just quote Bible. And the grammar's all right, and everything, all your cases are fine. How many understand what I speak about grammatical case? Matthew, that's it. Oh, come on. You guys know your grammatical cases in English? I, and my objective case is me, right? We have possessive case. My, that's basically it. Okay, that's it. And for you, you. In objective case, you. Okay, real tough one there. All right. That's why we like the King James. Because we have in the King James, we have ye and you and thee and thou. And Russian has all four of those forms and more. Estonian has all four of those forms and more. And those match better when you have a difference. Okay. I will never leave, what? Thee, that's individual. I am with you, plural, all of you. So God's with all of us, but he never leaves the individual. Isn't that wonderful? Just a little thing like that. You take it, make it all you, you'd lose that, wouldn't you? Behold, I am with you. Who said always? It's always. I heard an always out there. Somebody is going to get hung, I tell you. There's a difference in all way and all ways. How many people know that? Besides my family. You do too? Isn't that nice? Well, when you get home, teach your daddy, okay? Always means on every occasion. I'm always in church. Well, we would say that, wouldn't we? I'm always in church. Does that mean you're all the way here? Are you here constantly, 24/7? No. You're here on every occasion, right? This family is always in church. Well, you weren't here last night at midnight. But if you were always in church, you would be here constantly. So when Jesus says, I am with you always, he only doesn't show up when we need him. He's with us when we don't even know he's there. Because he's there all the way. I mean, it's important. Language is important. And so when you study these languages, it's important you get them right. And we're excited about the languages we've seen and working with them. So it's a difficult problem. That makes a major issue when you're dealing with people on the street. You would never want to give a Russian and an Estonian literature. And you would never want to give an Estonian and Russian literature. So being able to determine who's who is very important. Good question. Did I answer it? Or did I totally go off the deep end? Yes, sir. All right, good question. I'm going to give you what I believe from my perspective because I've made some conclusions. I got to give you a little bit of background. Estonia is dead last in Europe, statistically speaking. The Bible League did a survey and where God is placed in your life. And Estonia was at the bottom. Okay. 94% of Estonians responded to the survey said they didn't even have a religious affiliation. Which means, we knock on the door here in Ohio, what do you get? I am something, right? They don't even have an I am. I'm nothing! They're not a Presbyterian, they're not a Lutheran, they're not a Catholic, they're nothing. They don't affiliate with a religion, 94%. Probably out of the 6% remaining, 90% of those would be Lutheran. The reason I believe this is up until 1922, Estonia was never an independent country. It always had a foreign sovereign or a king or some sort of foreign control, whether it be Sweden or Germany or Finland or Denmark or Russia. They always had somebody exercising sovereignty over this country. And every time somebody came in and exercised sovereignty, they brought in their religion and their church. They built churches. There's lots of churches there. There's nobody in them, but there's lots of churches. And so you have Lutheran churches there. Well, you have Catholic churches. You have Russia built a temple right there in the center of the major part of the city. I mean, we're here now. Here's your temple. Oh, thank you. You know, we're not Russian Orthodox, but thank you for the temple. So there's a big, huge Russian Orthodox temple there because the Russians built it. When they got their independence in 1922 for the first time, they only had that until 1936. Then they were reinvaded by Russia. In 1991, they got their second independence. Last year, they celebrated their longest period of independence, 22 years. Think about that. 22 years. Wow. When did you graduate? 93. It's almost the time since you graduated. How long has that been? That's the longest period of independence they've had. So, I believe now, my observation is the reason they're non-religious is all the religions brought upon them were brought by a foreign power. So what is Estonian religion? They've only been independent for 22 years this time. They've only been independent twice, total of about 40 years. They've never had their own religion that they consider their own. Everything else has been foreign. So they have a tendency not to be religious at all. And now the fastest growing religion is paganism. Environmentalism is very, very strong there. A good Estonian apple has a hole in it. True story. When we got moved into the country, I went down to customs and a big customs lady, really jolly lady, sat me down and said, "Here, have some Estonian apples." And there's a box of apples on her desk, and looking at these apples, they look kind of sorry. So she grabs one and hands it to me. "Here, have an apple. Here, have another one. Here, have another one." Gave me three. "Good Estonian apple." I'm looking at it. Every one of them got a hole in it. She goes, "You know good apples when you see them here in Estonia. They have holes in them." And I left there going, "Oh, great." You know, I had to eat one of them in front of her because she, eat it, it's good. You know, and you got the customs director telling you, eat as she's going over your paperwork, you eat the apple. And so as I got out of there, I started thinking about it. The hole tells me a couple things. Number one, the worm is gone. Nothing worse than biting into a half a worm. Amen? Nothing worse than seeing half a worm in your apple. All right? That's really bad. Secondly, there's no pesticides used. There's no chemicals used. It's totally organic. Hence, that's why the worm didn't die. So there's some reasoning behind that. And this is all tied into their so environmentalism is very, very popular there. Paganism is growing now. The old Norse gods, you know, Thor and Frey and all the other ones are popular. And with all the Hollywood movies being pumped out, you see them over there for all this nonsense they're pushing out from that nonsense, that garbage. So it's that's what's happening. So they are not opposed to religion. They just don't want anything to do with it. So you can talk to them, but they have it's you have to you can't even start from saying "Thus saith the Lord," because if they don't accept this as authority, you got to establish that first. I spent weeks and weeks of establishing that the Bible is a book from God. It's supernatural. You can't teach that easily. And you can't teach it from what? We can't use what to teach that. What can't you use to teach that? The Bible. Very good, Phil. Most of them, well, every Bible study I've ever read said, "The Bible's true." How do you know? It says so right here. Hello? You know, anybody with two brain cells to rub together would know that that doesn't work. You're using the authority itself. Now, I believe the Bible. Okay? But once I have to establish it first as a supernatural book from God. And so we had to teach. And we used creation. We used the world around us. Job's very good about that. How does a man write what he does not know? Somebody who does know has to tell him. Well, who told Job these things? Nobody else knew them. Nobody knew these things. I got some real good quotes, too. University of Illinois saying that the water cycle was never understood until 1847 or something like that. I said, really? It's in the Bible. 4,000 years before that. Somebody knew? God. Okay? I love Daniel. How many of you ever read Daniel? I love Daniel. Daniel's like, I don't have a clue what's going on, God. So God sends an angel. And he says, I'm here to help you understand. Wonderful. He explains it to him. Huh? That's King James for, I heard and understood not. Amen? That's what it says. I mean, and here's a guy writing, I don't understand. He says, the angel showed up and explained it to me. He explained it to me, and I said, I still don't understand it. But I'll write it down anyway. So how do you write down what he does not even understand? Somebody who understood told him. So there's lots of places in the Bible, but then you see their change. They start looking and going, oh, that's really spooky, you know. So that's what you have to do. You have to establish that first. And that's a real problem with religion there. The only thing we have been restricted from is going to the doors and going in and going door to door. In 2008, we had gone in, we tried to get in every door in the entire city. And we had 120,000 invitations passed out that summer. And after doing that, we saw a letter saying it's illegal to do this. You can't do this no more. It's illegal to go to these doors. Oh, okay. We've already done it. So we've already knocked them all. We don't do that like that anymore. We try to get into people's homes and meet people one-on-one. I try to do other avenues just to get contacts. I play basketball twice a week with two different groups. I could play with one group twice, but I want to get me more contacts. And through that, we met Tarmo. If you've read any photos about Tarmo, that's through basketball. Things like that. And so God's been good. There's plenty of ways to witness. You don't have to worry about that. Just need to get out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. It doesn't say how to do that, does it? Bus ministry is a wonderful way. It's probably one of the most effective ways. Going out door to door, that's a good way to do it. But if you can't do that, do something else. There's plenty of ways. Piret and Mite, if you've read any of my prayers, you've read a lot about Piret and Mite. Mite's one of my best friends over there. Through giving him the gospel track when we bought a chair, you know, gave her a track and made communication with him. That met the family, went over there. You can do it. Lots of ways to do it. So that's the religious picture. Yes, sir. Hymns. As far as the language goes, I didn't quite get your question. How do you approach them?
What do you, I mean, it just seems like it doesn't seem like it's the easiest language to say.
It's a horrible language, but music, Estonians love music. They are arguably the most musically oriented country in the world. There's a documentary video out called The Singing Revolution. Give you an understanding of Estonians. Very hard-headed, very bull-headed, but they'll be very stoic and very quiet. The national Estonian joke, for example, is three Estonians are traveling back from Riga, Latvia, back to the capital of Tallinn, from Latvia to Estonia. As they're driving down the road in utter silence, an animal crosses in front of the car. 30 minutes passes by, nothing is said. And Mite, over on the right, says, dog. 30 more minutes passes of nothing being said, and Teet in the middle says, fox. 30 more minutes goes by, and Pape in the driver's seat says, stop arguing. Yeah. That's Estonians. And that's the national Estonian joke. They're very quiet in many ways, very reserved, very slow to make a decision. That's one of the biggest obstacles, is they don't make life-changing decisions quickly. And so, it's a very difficult situation. However, music. They love music. They have the largest collection of national music in the world, folk music. They have dedicated a portion of their city to build an amphitheater. It's a grass-lined with a domed area. That's like every 5 years, they have the singing festival. Estonians come from around the world. The choir will range between 25 to 35,000 in the choir. You'll have 250,000 to 300,000 Estonians gathering around and singing. You can see pictures on the internet. It's very interesting. And It's a wonderful time this year. We planned our trip to be back in time for the Song Festival. The parade is July 4th. They love Americans. You'll see in the parade people waving American flags and Estonian flags. It's a very festive time. They love singing. So music's a big part of their country. And it's beautiful music. Beautiful music. So that's a good outreach, is music. Yes? When we got there, for the first short period, since we were already veterans being from Russia, there was another missionary that had been there and hadn't been able to start a work, and his pastor, one of our supporting pastors, he had pulled me aside and said, if there's any way you could help him, would you please try to help him get his ministry going? So we dedicated some time when we first got there helping him in his ministry getting it going, and then we started our own immediately. So I would recommend any first-time missionaries latching on and even staying. You know, I think we need to realize there's a lot can be done. When Eric Kropa, do you guys support Eric Kropa? He took our ministry over in Russia. When he came on board with us as my second man, just a single fella, our ministry tripled. Not doubled, tripled. We were able to do far more, the two of us, than we, not just combining his work, but the two of us together were able to do three times the work. It's kind of the opposite of having one boy, two boys, three boys working. You know the story? Who was I talking to yesterday about that? You know, you get a boy to come help you, you got a boy. You get two boys, you got half a boy. You get three boys helping you, you got no boys at all. You know, and they all just sit around and talk, like this group that was out there. I won't say who it was. Don't want anybody getting embarrassed. We had some different workers yesterday, didn't we? We had good workers and we had some that weren't so good. But anyway. So that's the way it is. I think we need to realize missionaries going in teams is a good idea. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. They run deep. Estonia was, they have a lot of firsts in Estonia. Estonia was the first country invaded in the prelude to World War II. Most people don't know that. The Soviets invaded them and just decimated the country. 25% of the people were killed. Every woman, 9 to 90, was raped. 25 to 30,000 children were pulled from their homes and sent to Siberia. The men were conscripted into the army to fight for the people that just invaded your country. That was the first, as they traveled down in through Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and then they were on the border of Poland with the Molotov-Ribbentrop agreement. They then, Russia and Germany, invaded simultaneously into Poland. This is the prelude to the war, was when they went through Estonia. So they were the first country that was invaded. Now, during the course of the war, the Russians were pushed back by the Germans. Germans came up through Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. When they entered Estonia, the German army was what? What do you think? They were liberators. They were pushing off the Soviets. So the German army was liberators. Men that had been too young to be pulled into the Soviet army joined. The 7th SS Regiment was established right there in Estonia. It was the most dynamic and effective fighting force in the German army. The 7th SS Regiment had a 7-to-1 kill ratio, but yet it was exonerated during the Nuremberg trials, and there was no war crimes that they were tried for. So it's a very, very awesome unit. And today, when you go to the victory parades in Estonia, you have people in Nazi uniforms proudly marching in the parade, right next to maybe his cousin who was conscripted into the Soviet army in his Soviet uniform. He had no choice. But I don't. Most of this Estonians, we don't have any Estonians that joined the Soviet army voluntarily. But they joined the German army voluntarily. At the end of the war, shame on us, we allowed the Soviets to retain possession of the Baltics. That was a horrible thing we allowed happen. Thank God for Reagan, because he began the ball rolling to get the Soviets to pull out of the Baltics and help them by giving them documentation that allowed their government to then fight the Soviets. Estonia then was the first country in the Soviet Union that declared their independency. They were the first. And I have a flag on the picture. You'll see there's a picture of a tall tower. It's called Tall Herman or Tall Soldier in Estonian. And that flag on top of there, that is the flag post that put the first flag during the Soviet times in the Soviet Union that wasn't a Soviet flag. And they flew their own flag. They did it. They kept their unity together. They kept their spirit together by singing. That's why the Singing Revolution, they sang songs to retain their ethnic unity. And it was amazing that they sang their way to independence. The language is so different. There's no way you're going to learn Estonian unless you're born Estonian. There's really no way to do it effectively. You can't speak Estonian and not be a native. There's too much that you have to know. We have, like I said, we have basically subjective and objective case. Estonian has 13 cases. Okay, and there are over 550 patterns for the words in Estonian. Every word follows a certain pattern on how to decline it. You know, you ever have trouble with our past tense verbs? You know, how many times you correct your children? I bringed some stuff home today. No, honey, you brought it, right? Well, think about if every word in your language was that way, not just the past tense verbs. You understand Estonian. The word room, tuba, T-U-B-A, like the instrument we play, that's the word for room. They don't use prepositional phrases. They change the word. So in the room, ma'olen, I am. In the room, one word. It's no longer tuba. It's now toas. That means in the room. Okay? I'm going, malahan. I actually means I'm walking. There's many different verbs for motion. So you have I'm driving, I'm walking. They separate those out. So we don't have I'm going. They don't have going, so they have all the different words. So I'm walking. I'm going to the room, malahan. Tupa. Two P's and an A. Okay? Tupa. You have to put a pause in it. So this is a major issue. And so you'll never speak it correctly unless you know it from heart, from being born there. And so you think about all the time you correct your children on their past tense verbs. Think about doing that for every adjective, adverb, noun, and verb. And you get the idea 13 times versus just once. It's a mess. So that's a real major issue.
The government, what's the visa and all that, getting access to the country and friendly there?
Good question, Phil. If you want to come, come. They love you. Get your passport, come on over. Nothing else required. They're a NATO country. They love Americans. Probably the only country in the world that actually likes us. you can wear your American T-shirts and your American flag ties, and you'll have no trouble there. You can actually see them with them. Okay, they like American restaurants. You'll see rib places. Not that they're as good as America, but they're trying. And you'll have hamburger joints, things like that. So they like America and Americans. That way it's helped us because they want us to be there. And they have oftentimes, when we went down to get new visas, residencies actually, they would say, you don't qualify, you don't have enough money. And I said, well, I got to call Pastor Royalty or I got to do something else. So he wouldn't answer his phone. So I'm joking. They would say, well, we'll just run it through anyway. And time again, when we didn't have the funds to meet the criteria, they would just run us through and let us stay. And so it's been nice. They like us being there. They try to help us be there. And the government is extremely liberal. It's great. Now, hang on to your hats. You guys got to understand your own words in English. I'll give you an English lesson. What's the word liberal? Is that good or bad? In context with American politics, it's bad. Why? Because conservatives want to stay with what? The what? What document do we want to stay? The Constitution. We don't want to change. The Constitution is fine. Do you realize who was the most liberal president we've ever had? George Washington. Very good. Got one genius over here. Okay, George Washington. He was extremely liberal. Okay, but in 1787, we ratified the Constitution. The presidents stopped being liberal and started being conservative because they wanted to stay with the Constitution. Liberal simply means subject to change. And conservative means we want to steady the course. And so we are conservative because we have a Bible. We want to stay on it. We don't want to change it. We want it to change us. Amen? And we have a constitution politically. So a liberal politics in America is bad. They want to destroy this and the Constitution. Liberal politics in Estonia flips it right around. Because conservative is staying with what they had, which was Soviet, which is, we call it Democrats in America. Okay? We want entitlements. We want welfare. We want to take from the rich and give it to the government. Don't give it to the poor, to give it to the government. And then it's awful. And so the conservatives there are social democrats. That's what they call themselves, social democrats. The liberals there want a small government. They want an active people. They want you to do it. They don't want they try to keep the government very small. They have a very, very liberal government. It's outstanding. Very young, and they believe in letting the people run their own business. And they have the most productive business atmosphere in the world. They cap tax at 22% for businesses. Cap it. That means they will not pay more than 22% total tax. Taxes in California for businesses are over 50%. Give you an idea. Okay? Is that time to tell us we're done? Okay. And so they keep taxes low, and they allow the businesses to thrive. They want to stay out of your business, and it's the healthiest economy in the world. It's 6% national debt. 6%. The closest other European country is Luxembourg with 18%. That's better than Liechtenstein. It's better than Switzerland. They're very healthy. And that keeps the economy going. And that allows us to have a very good output. But the problem with that is this. We went over there. We were the poor people. Us poor Americans. Can you imagine going to a country and being the poor Americans? And so it made a very major issue for us to be able to witness to people. What do you have to offer me? You know? You're not doing so well yourself. You're Americans. And so the Lord provided even opportunities through things that He's brought up for us to be able to be witness and be able to spread the gospel to even these people that are prospering. Amen. Any other questions before we got time for one more or what? Yes, ma'am. What's their government structure? They have a parliament, which means you vote for your parliamentary representative, then the representatives vote for the prime minister. The prime minister does all the domestic affairs. They also have a president. They have two different heads. They separate domestic and foreign policy. And the president deals with foreign policy. The prime minister deals totally domestic. Areas of responsibility are very clearly defined. And if it's foreign, the president does it. If it's domestic, the prime minister does it. So the prime minister runs the country. They say the prime minister runs the country. The president technically leads it. So, but the prime minister is the guy who runs the country. It actually is very, very nicely done, very intelligent. They saw the dangers with what we created with an oligarchy in America called the Supreme Court that really runs our country. And they can determine anything. And that's the problem. Now we got to kind of split oligarchy dictatorship, I think, anyway, getting into politics. Any other questions? That was a good question. You have a question? You just want to raise your hand? All right. Is that it? You have a question? They like little blonde girls. They love that aspect. Oh, I'm sorry. what do they eat? We have a lot of pork. We eat fish, cabbage, potatoes, all your root vegetables, carrots, beets, parsnips, things like that. Cucumbers, radishes, dill, fresh dill, lots of that. Sauerkraut, Germanic, a lot of German and Scandinavian mix. So, raw fish. Like raw fish? When you come over, we'll make sure you get some. Good question, though. I'm surprised someone else hadn't asked that one. Anybody else before we're done? Nope. Going once, going twice. Okay, preacher.